There were a depressing amount of injuries to fantasy players in 2020. But the good news is that means bounce back potential in 2021.
Oh boy.
Let's talk about some potential bounce back players on the show today. Let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
Hello.
What up?
All right. Welcome into the show. Congratulations. You started your day the right way. It is Thursday, April 8th. And that is Daniel Badaki.
What's happening?
How are you doing, brother?
Another day, another dollar.
You're in a new apartment right now.
Yeah, new apartment.
You want to tell people about the new spot, new crib?
Yeah, new crib where I'm currently sitting in the quote-unquote what's going to be the studio. We are hopefully going to have that up and running soon. Obviously, it takes some time. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, congratulations on the new spot. It's beautiful. Can't wait for the studio. Can't wait for you to have a good time in that apartment with your future wifey. Wow.
Wow.
What a time Amazing. To be alive. 2021 is coming up all Badaki. I am Zach. Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast. We've got a great show for you today. Quickly, before we get into our segment, we want to tell you about Discord. If you don't know what Discord is, it's simply a way to connect with the community. But what we use it for is to talk general fantasy football questions and conversations with our community, as well as this is where we send the links for our live community mock drafts.
Yes.
So if you want to be a part of those live community mock drafts, which we are doing every other Monday in the off season, all you got to do is go to one link. Okay. That link is solo.to/fantasylandfootball. In that link, you'll be able to find our Discord server where you can join us and make sure you don't miss out on the chance to mock with us.
Correct.
You'll also be able to find our Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. You can watch the show on YouTube and you can find ways to listen to the podcast. But enough talk about that. Let's get straight into the segment we have for today. Badaki, what's the segment we're doing today?
Yeah, potential bounce back players of 2021. So, Dak Prescott, are you buying or selling Dak Prescott for 2021?
Yeah, I am buying Dak Prescott in 2021 for a bounce back season.
Okay.
Look, I know he had a pretty severe injury. That ankle dislocation, it literally looked like his bone popped out of his skin. Not to get too graphic, but his bone actually did pop out of his skin.
It was terrible.
It was absolutely awful. I think anyone, regardless of if you're a Cowboys fan or not, saw that and just felt for Dak. There are not many scenarios that we can point to of players in the NFL who have had this type of injury.
Right.
It's a very unique type of injury. The only player I can point to that's had the same injury is former Texans defensive end Connor Barwin. Now, Connor recovered really well, and actually the next year he had a breakout year with 11 and a half sacks. He then made the Pro Bowl 4 years later. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because while there is not much history to show us how a player has recovered, we can only go based off of what we've seen.
Right.
And we have seen someone who's had this injury come back and have a really, really great year and a successful career. I feel like he does have a massive chance to come back and bounce back as a top five quarterback. Friendly reminder, right? In 2020, Badaki, before he was actually injured from weeks 1 to 4, guess who was the quarterback one? The best quarterback in all of fantasy football.
Yep, that's him.
That's Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that has any reason. I don't think there's any reason as to why that should change this year. I'm not saying he will finish as a quarterback one, but he has that upside still. Guys, the Cowboys defense didn't get any better. I mean, they signed Keanu Neal, which is a nice, decent signing.
Right.
But it's not the answer to all their problems.
Yeah.
And the offense is just as good as it was last year. They didn't lose any weapons. And I think a CeeDee Lamb in his second year is going to be even better for Dak. The upside is there. The only question mark is, can he still run the way he did?
Right.
Will he have any sort of timid movements? So I am buying a bounce back. I think in our mock draft yesterday, he was the 7th or 8th quarterback taken. That's kind of where I'm comfortable taking him. I feel like that's like a no risk pickup as the 8th, 7th quarterback in drafts. How do you feel about it? You look a little more hesitant than me.
Well, I'm actually more on the I'm buying Dak Prescott side.
Okay.
The hesitancy for me is like, I believe just like anyone that's going to come out of injury, coming back from an injury like that, or just any injury, is they're going to be timid going into their first couple games. So
totally.
Maybe for sometimes the first 4 weeks, it's kind of like they're still trying to find their ground. They found their rhythm. And I think maybe that's what's going to happen with Dak Prescott. He's not going to have the best start, but he's going to have an even better finish, in my opinion. Okay. So I do like this. And everything that you said about, you know, all his weapons around him, CeeDee Lamb coming in for year two. There's a lot of talks that, you know, Patrick Surtain can go, the second can go on the secondary for that defense to make that defense a little bit better. Or even Kyle Pitts, if he does fall to the number 10 pick, if I'm not mistaken, which will be crazy for the Cowboys organization.
I was going to say the draft will slightly determine upside as well.
Mm-hmm.
If they go defense, it could potentially limit his upside if the defense gets better.
Right.
But if they go offense, like a Kyle Pitts, that could even raise their ceiling even more. So
yeah, so I do like Dak Prescott. Like, in my opinion, I'm buying him. I think he will come back. He will bounce back. I do believe the mobility is going to be limited because Jerry Jones is going to try to protect Dak Prescott as much as possible now that he signed that 4-year.
It's an investment now.
Yeah, exactly. Great. It's an investment. That's all it is. It's time to protect Dak Prescott.
Okay. I like it. I think we're both buying Dak in 2021. Hopefully the thing you take from this is don't be afraid to draft him. Don't be afraid to bet on him as your quarterback one this year. Okay. Saquon Barkley, unfortunately, did not have the year we expected him to last year due to injury. But Aki, are you buying or selling a bounce back for Saquon Barkley in 2021?
I'm buying for Saquon. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It biasly and unbiasedly, Saquon Barkley is a must-have bounce back on your team, okay? The second, when Saquon got hurt, I was devastated. Day two of Saquon Barkley, when it was confirmed that he tore his ACL, I said he's going to be the comeback player of the year for 2021. And I still believe that. I don't see anyone else coming out of this. I mean, look, let me rephrase that. There are other potentials of players to come back and bounce back. But Saquon Barkley, if you've seen that Nike documentary, is like, I think Stronger Than One, that is something amazing. You should watch that. And
if there's anything that we've learned over the years, is that hype videos for returning players always determines their play. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't always determine. You know,
people see hype videos in the offseason, they're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley stock just went up 3,000,000%.
I think, like, we don't take that into account, but you have to take in the history. So, perfect example of a player with a similar injury, Adrian Peterson. Okay. Like, if you know the story of Adrian Peterson, he tore his ACL 2011. The next year, 2012, he ran for over 2,000 yards. I mean,
yeah,
that right there is enough said. And obviously, there's numerous of people that have torn their ACL, whether you're a running back, a wide receiver, a quarterback, and they all have bounced back tremendously. Yeah. So
Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, exactly. Look, there are people out there. There's both sides of the story here. For Saquon can either diminish as a player, which will be absolutely terrible and sad, or he will be even better than what Saquon Barkley is now, of what we know of Saquon Barkley. So look, my 2021 outlook, in my opinion, is you're taking Saquon. If you're in dynasty, you're probably taking him second. If you're in redrafts, you're probably taking him second or third. No matter what, you're taking him. Saquon Barkley is
probably third, right? Like, you're not taking him over Dalvin.
Yeah, second or third.
I feel like the conversation is more like 3 to 5. 3-6.
Yeah, some people,
because you got guys like Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara. Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's
you know, I don't know that he's a lock. Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely your preference. So I'm not worried about it. I think now with Kenny G coming onto the team, that relieves a lot of pressure from Saquon. They're not gonna a lot of defenses aren't gonna stack the box because they have Kenny G on the outside now. Also, yeah, we don't know what's gonna happen in the draft if they do get a Waddle, if they do get a Devonta Smith. Whatever the case may be, I expect us to get a receiver, but I'm also happy to get a tackle as well to give Rashawn Slater.
Well, or our last mock draft we did on the podcast, we had them taking Rashawn Slater.
And yeah, and that's great. Like, even though that's not a, it is a weapon. He's the number two ranked tackle coming out of this draft. Some people have him first. So it just, it really depends.
Those people are wrong. But yes.
But either way, you know, if they get Rashawn Slater, that helps Saquon Barkley immediately.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if they don't, if Slater's on the board and let's say Waddle and Smith are as well, if they don't take Slater, it will be a massive disappointment in my opinion. And if you're a Giants fan, obviously Badaki is, I feel like you should be upset if they don't take Slater and he's on the board. Because you spent money already on Kenny Golladay in the offseason. Saquon Barkley's coming back. He was injured. So with an offensive line that needs upgrades, how are you not going to take the second best tackle in the class and one, protect Daniel Jones? Because guess what, guys? If your quarterback can't throw the ball, then a guy like Saquon is never going to have the room to run.
I think,
you know, the game plan is going to be super easy. Yeah. Just stack the box.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And one more thing just on this topic. If you remember last year, the first three players that the Giants drafted were all offensive linemen. Andrew Thomas, Shane Lemieux, and there was a third guy. I forgot his name. So there's two different perspectives to where they do take an offensive, they do take an offensive line, but I was like, why? You took three last year, or you take a weapon on offense? So
I get that. I get that too. But, you know, Andrew Thomas probably wasn't the right pick there. I think we can, like, you know, we have to give him more time to develop. But as of right now, when you're looking at it, it's probably not right the right pick. But at the same time, you still have to make those picks as an organization. Like, it's a very different position. But the Cardinals went out the year after drafting Josh Rosen and selected Kyler Murray. Why? Because you don't pass up on the talent and some position that could help you.
Yeah.
Even though you missed before, it's still, offensive line is so crucial to your success. You still have to go out and get it. I like it. I like the buy for Saquon. I'm not worried about taking him either.
Yeah.
Same. In 2021.
All right. Julio Jones. Zach, are you buying or selling Julio Jones?
I am buying a bounce back for Julio Jones in 2021. Now, there's been way too much conversation, Badaki, of this quote unquote, I'll use finger quotes.
Right.
If you're watching on YouTube, there's been way too much talk of Julio Jones is injury prone. I'm sorry, but he's really not. From 2014 to 2019, Julio Jones missed a combined 4 games. Okay. 2020 was a completely different season. He only played 9 out of 16. But typically, Julio Jones is a very, very reliable wide receiver. Now, he is getting older, but he is an elite weapon, in my opinion. I still feel like he has the upside to be a top 12 wide receiver, maybe top 10 in 2021.
Okay.
The weapons are there. He's in an amazing offense. He had the issues with his hamstring, but you can expect that he has now recovered from that. The issue with the hamstring, similar to a couple other injuries that we're going to talk about on the show today, is when you have those injuries, the only thing to really help is time. And unfortunately, what happens is either the player or the coaching staff says, you know what? No, I'm good to go. Get me in the game.
Yeah.
And then they're in the game and they didn't actually give themselves enough time to fully recover.
Correct.
And that's what happened with Julio Jones all year. He thought the hamstring was good to go, came back too early, re-aggravated it. But I love where I'm getting Julio Jones right now in mock drafts. I know it's early and mock drafts could change, but we did a mock draft yesterday or 2 days ago with our community. And I was able to draft him in the mid fourth round. I was able to go running back heavy. I got Jonathan Taylor, Antonio, or it wasn't Antonio Gibson, Cam Akers, Josh Jacobs. And then in the fourth round, I was able to snag Julio Jones as my wide receiver one. I am personally taking Julio Jones in the fourth round all day if he's there. For me, it's still an elite offense and a defense that, by the way, the guy Keanu Neal, he left this defense. He was one of their best players. This defense has only gotten worse this offseason, not better. So for me, I still feel like Julio has amazing upside. Matt Ryan will probably be the quarterback all year. So there's still a great connection there. And then this whole conversation, hey, what about Calvin Ridley? Calvin Ridley is the wide receiver one there.
Yeah.
Look, I have said this all last year, and I'll say it again. A healthy Calvin and a healthy Julio is the best case scenario for both of their fantasy outlooks because it allows them not to be only on one-on-one coverage. So for me, I'm buying Julio. I don't know if you feel the same.
No, I'm definitely buying Julio. And I just had a thought, and I don't know why I haven't thought about this. Maybe I have. What if the Falcons stay at four and take Ja'Marr Chase because they believe Julio is on the decline and is out in the next 2 years? Is that a viable like scenario there? Is that something that is that they can see happening?
I don't want to say it's not a viable scenario because anything can happen, and we always see that in drafts.
Mm.
But it's really, really unlikely that a team that has so many holes would say, hey, you have to think about it. What's the best position for the Falcons? Wide receiver core.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that they would, in my opinion, draft a wide receiver that early, but I don't know. You know, anything could happen. I just think about their offensive line, their defensive line, their cornerbacks.
I think about it as well. And
so
crazy scenario would just be Ja'Marr Chase going to the Falcons, Julio getting traded and them getting draft picks. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
That's not anything. I don't think that's crazy, but anyways, I am buying Julio Jones for 2021. Okay. I'm 100% with you. I think it's Julio Jones. I think it was a great thing that you said there from 2014 to 2019. Julio only missed four combined games in that, 4 or 5 year span.
Yeah.
I mean, he was due to get injured, I guess to say.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
So I love Julio Jones.
He also is a type of player who might pick up knick-knack injuries here and there, but mm-hmm. he almost always plays through them.
Yeah, exactly.
There are certain injuries that you just can't play through. Like mm-hmm. he tried to play through that hamstring, just didn't work. Yeah, so
and there was times.
I feel like a big part of this as well is one, I actually do believe he has a bounce back and he has great stats. I think he could have a Pro Bowl year again. But two, his ADP is so crucial here. You're getting a guy that was drafted in the first round last year in the fourth round. I just feel like you can't lose with that value.
What wide receiver is he for you in this draft?
For me? Yeah,
this year.
Like how high I have him?
Is he a top? Not. I'm asking his ADP. Is he going to be in the top 10 of wide receivers or the top?
I think he should be. I don't know that he will be.
I mean,
I think
if you think about it, what? Dalvin, Tyreek, DeAndre, DK.
Devontae.
Yeah, Devontae, sorry. Justin Jefferson.
I'll list off like the top guys, and let's figure this out quickly. Devontae Adams, obviously one. Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf. Not in any particular order, guys. AJ Brown, Stephon Diggs, maybe Godwin, Justin Jefferson. Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley. Those are all the wide receivers that were taken before Julio Jones in our mock draft 2 days ago.
Okay.
Now, personally, I'm betting on Julio over Michael Thomas this year, right? I think I'm betting Julio over Chris Godwin.
Right, that's who I was going to ask, okay.
I don't know that I can bet Julio over Keenan Allen. I think I'd prefer Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the kind of value where you're seeing him kind of fall. So good value.
So what, wide receiver 8?
Wide receiver 8 to 12.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. Okay. So while I'm buying Julio Jones, How about Austin Eckler, Badaki, a guy who was injured a lot of last year, didn't have the year we expected him to. Are you buying a bounce back for Austin Eckler in 2021?
You know, I'm actually going to buy Austin Eckler this year. And I'm going back and forth. And before I tell you that, let me just tell you his injury, okay? He had a hamstring injury, kind of similar to Julio Jones. That's why he was out for a very long time. And he had a hyperextended knee. I think the hyperextended knee is, you know, it was a 1 to 2 week injury, which is the hamstring was really, really bad for Austin Eckler. I mean, there was times that he was going to come back 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. Then it was eight to 10 weeks, and he came back in the last couple games of the season.
Oh, man, that was frustrating for Eckler owners. There was weeks
that Austin Eckler could be starting today. And then you get a report, oh, he won't start until week 10, and it was week 6. And I was like, what? Like, how do you just add on 4 extra weeks?
Austin Eckler could start tonight. Sure, bud. Sure, he could. Yeah.
So, look, once it, like Zach said about the Julio injury, it takes time for the hamstring injury. That's why he was out for a very long time. But my outlook for Austin Eckler and my thought process with him is that I am buying him currently, but I'm also scared. And let me tell you why. Just because of the NFL draft. There's a lot of talks that the Chargers could get another running back. There's also a lot of talks that the Chargers won't get a running back, and they'll go they'll go a wide receiver, right? So Austin Eckler, when he got into this year with Justin Herbert, he only played 2 games, so it was hard for him to kind of adjust with that, with this new offense and everything. And according to PFF, the Chargers' offensive line were terrible. Okay, they were the worst in the NFL.
Really? That's actually surprising.
Yeah, I thought so.
No, I remember seeing that report, and then I said to myself, holy shit, Justin Herbert, the season he had behind that offensive line.
He was slinging it.
It was even more impressive.
Yeah. But, so, and what that means to me is that they can't get any worse. It's only up from here. And obviously, they signed Corey Lindsey in the offseason, which is probably one of the most underrated signings, according to Zach, for the Chargers. I believe it as well.
Your boy Lindsey.
Yeah.
Again, storyline in 2021. Did the Packers pay the right man? Exactly. Lindsey, they let go. Jones, they paid.
Yeah. So I'm excited for Austin Eckler to come back. There's also a lot of talks either, once again, if they get a offensive lineman, if they get a running back in the draft or that for a trade, for example, a Giovanni Bernard, or if they do the whole Melvin Gordon thing, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, there's a lot of talks that Najee Harris can go to the Chargers if he does fall. I'm a bit concerned, but at the moment, since this is before the draft, I am buying Austin Eckler because I believe he's going to have a bounce back year. I believe with this offensive line, once again, it's only improving from here.
Yeah.
And I like
it. You can't get worse than dead last, right?
No, so you can't.
I like it as well. I feel like the offense is going to continue to evolve. What was the most frustrating thing about watching Charger games last year? I'll answer the question for you. It was the coaching staff and the coaching decisions. Anthony Lynn, I love you. Some of the worst decisions last year. Mm. It was shocking to see the amount of games you lost because of your decisions. So, new coaching staff, hopefully they can utilize this team better. The offensive line gets better. And I've heard Eckler's going to be used more in a slot role as well, which is good. If you actually look at Eckler's stats, guys, he gets most of his points from receiving. So, anytime they're going to look to get him the ball,
and that's what I'm thinking. Happy. That's why I'm a bit like, whoa, okay, most of his points in receiving. He's not your 3-down back. I believe the Chargers could potentially be going back to that 2-running-back scheme, like a Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler type body. Melvin Gordon and Najee Harris are really similar in body frames. So I believe that I mean, can see that happen.
That's true, but Najee is just way, way bigger. He's a massive boy. I like it. I like it, and I agree. I'm definitely excited to see Eckler, a full, healthy Austin Eckler in 2021, hopefully.
Michael Thomas, this is a guy that, you know, is fallen here, okay? Mm. And I'm interested to hear your perspectives.
The fall from grace.
So are you buying or selling MT here?
In 2021, I am selling Michael Thomas. Ooh. And I don't like saying it. And I would love to be wrong about it.
Right.
But it's not so much the injury, because he had the high ankle sprain all last year. And I think that's just another injury. I know. It's just another injury that you need a bunch of time to heal from. And he himself even said, hey, I actually came back early because I wanted to help Drew Brees get to another Super Bowl. Right. That's the reason he came back early. He shouldn't have been back early. He actually should have had surgery during the season. And that might have actually hurt him going into 2021 because he didn't have the surgeries during the season. And his recovery process was pushed back. But we have seen players had similar injuries who have bounced back pretty well. Saquon Barkley had that injury in 2019. Granted, he only had a couple games, but it didn't look like an issue to him. We've seen a ton of other players. A high ankle sprain is such a common injury.
Yeah.
Because you have a bunch of players using footwork and being tackled. So it's going to happen. I'm not worried about the injury because I think he'll come back completely healthy.
Okay.
What I'm worried about is the quarterback situation.
Right.
And before you go and say, hey, Jameis Winston's fine, look at what he did in Tampa Bay. I know, and I hope that happens, but this isn't Tampa Bay.
Right.
This isn't Bruce Arians. This isn't free range, do whatever you want to do, Jameis Winston. Because did that work? No, it didn't work. So why would we assume that a guy like Sean Payton would just allow Jameis Winston to just be completely unleashed in this offense, right? Why would we assume that he would allow that? Now, if Jameis is named the starting quarterback, there is more hope for Michael Thomas. But we don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback. We don't know if there will be a starting quarterback or if it will be a two-quarterback system. It wouldn't surprise me if they did exactly what they did last year and they just ran two quarterbacks.
Right.
So why is this bad for MT? MT has never been successful without Drew Brees. Biggest reason is because he hasn't really played much without Drew Brees. Think about other players who have transitioned. They've been elite players and they transitioned to a team who didn't have a good quarterback. Or think about wide receivers who didn't have a good quarterback and then they got a good quarterback and they became elite. No offense to Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins can produce elite wide receivers. But what happened when Stephon Diggs decided to go to Buffalo with an elite quarterback? He was like, what, the wide receiver 3 or something last year? So here's my worry. Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. I don't know that they can support a wide receiver 1. And what's good, though, is you are starting to see Michael Thomas fall in mock drafts.
Yeah.
So I think yesterday he went in the middle of the 4th as well.
Yeah.
So personally, I'm selling it just because I don't like the situation, but it very well could bite me in the ass.
Okay. So I completely agree with you. And I think maybe let's go through different players you would take over Michael Thomas. Okay. Just out of curiosity, Mike Evans over Michael Thomas.
I would take Michael Thomas because he is the more dominant option in his offense.
Okay.
Right. Whereas Mike Evans has Godwin as well to compete with, and maybe Antonio Brown.
Right. Let's try Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper, that's a really, really close one, but I think I would take Michael Thomas still.
Okay. And I'm going to do a rookie. Jamar Chase to the Bengals with Joe Burrow. Are you taking Jamar Chase or Michael Thomas?
Is this dynasty or is this redraft?
Either or.
I mean, redraft, you can't take the rookie over him. So,
okay.
Michael Thomas.
I guess that's I can't think of
dynasty anymore. Might be a different scenario. So,
okay, yeah, okay. But I do agree with you. I am selling Michael Thomas. I was saying that really, really early. Once I knew Drew Brees was retiring, you know, I think a lot of people sold all their stocks that they had for Michael Thomas and dynasty. Once they understood that, a lot of people do like Jameis Winston, and like Zach said, we understand the Jameis scenario. We know the history of Jameis. He had Mike Evans. He had all these people. It's a different scheme. Okay, it's a different offense. It's a whole different team. Alvin Kamara, I expect his workload to go up, so Michael Thomas shares to go down, in my opinion. I completely agree. There's not much more I can say.
Okay. All right. Well, Kenny NYG signed with your New York Giants, New York football Giants. Oh, are you buying or selling a bounce back year for Kenny Golladay in 2021?
I'm buying for Kenny
G. You are buying. No surprise.
Mm-hmm. No surprise. And this is, okay, this is very, I was going to say I'm biased, but there's a gray area in the biased and non-biased perspective. I'm scared of Kenny G.
Okay,
as a Giants fan. One, because of his injury. There's two different rumors that I understand from his injury, okay? He had a hip flex sprain. What that means is that you're overusing of the muscles in that group, in your hip flexor. What that means, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. but if you understand what I'm saying, then maybe you can understand maybe why he didn't play. That's one scenario. One scenario is that injury was really bad and he had to sit out for months. Scenario number two was that he actually sat out because the hip flex sprain doesn't necessarily have to be, it's not an injury that you need months and months and months. So what he did, or what the Lions did, was sat him out. Okay. And another player that had this same injury was Julio Jones in 2017. Okay. This is the only reason why I'm buying. Because of all this information that I found and research is that, maybe Kenny G was healthy. Maybe he didn't want to play, or maybe the Lions sat him because of a contract. So I am taking the risk, and I'm buying him purely because I'm going to go with the research that I've done, because Julio Jones really only missed two games with the same injury in 2017, or three games, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he only missed three games, and he had the exact same injury as Kenny G this year, and Kenny G missed the whole season, or the majority of the season, so...
Conspiracy theories right here.
Yeah, but look, I am buying Kenny G purely because he does open up the offense for the New York Giants. Does he get a better quarterback? No. Does he upgrade in, I guess, scheme? Maybe.
No.
Like, you know, like, it just really...
It's a very similar position. And the reason I'm very 50-50 here, but I lean 51% buy, 49% sell. Mm-hmm. And the reason that 1% is there is because I have a theory that when you spend money on a player, you plan to use them heavily. Mm-hmm. If it's big money, right? No one spent more money on a wide receiver in the offseason than the Giants on Kenny Golladay. So what you would hope and what you would assume is with the money also follows opportunity and targets within the offense. So that's kind of why I am leaning more towards a buy than a sell with Kenny G personally.
There was another thing that I wanted to bring up so people can understand. When Kyle Rudolph signed with the Giants and he did his physical, they found a thing where something in his foot, and Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota.
It was fungus.
Say that again?
He had foot fungus. Yeah. He had athlete's foot. No, jokes.
When he was in Minnesota, they were just like, oh, you don't need surgery. You just need to sit and like stay out a couple games and not play. He went to New York, did his physical, and the Giants organization said, put his contract on pause. And was like, the only way we're agreeing to this contract is if you have surgery. I think something similar, I would have assumed something similar would have happened with Kenny G if that injury was severe, and they wouldn't have given him a massive contract. That's all I'm saying.
They brought him in. They brought him in, so surely they did their research.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's my personal outlook. So yes, I am buying Kenny G.
If you're looking for the conspiracy theories and the insight on anything New York football Giants, then Badaki is your man.
Just let me know. Message me on IG, you know. And another guy that there was a lot of conspiracy theories on, that's old Dell Beckham Jr., former New York Giant, now with the Cleveland Browns. Are you buying or selling OBJ in 2021?
I am selling OBJ in 2021. And again, it's not so much the injury, because I really feel like he can bounce back from the injury. We've seen all the hype videos. Guys, don't get caught up in hype videos too much.
I love hype videos.
We have seen this. Yeah, the hype videos are the best. I mean, do you remember when Derrick Rose had that injury and then like Adidas did a full-on campaign for him when he came back? Hype videos are the best, but it doesn't mean the player always, like, hype videos shouldn't be the reason you buy or sell a player in fantasy. Mm-hmm. But the ACL, I think he'll recover well from. I mean, we've seen so many wide receivers recover well. Allen Robinson, when he signed with the Bears, Keenan Allen in 2016 had an ACL tear, and then he came back in 2017, caught over 100 balls and 6 touchdowns. ACL, like, the football world has the ACL injury down. They know how to recover from it really well. Mm-hmm. In fact, some people come back and they feel stronger. Who was it? Cooper Kupp. We talked about him earlier. He had the ACL tear. He came back in the next year, blew up, and he said, I actually feel stronger with my new ACL. So, like, the sports world of medicine knows how to recover from this injury. That's not why I'm selling.
Right.
The reason I'm selling is I'm just not excited about OBJ in this offense, and I haven't been ever excited about him in this offense.
I agree.
Run first offense. Kevin Stefanski had a offensive scheme and it worked last year. Run the ball heavy. They have two great running backs, two elite running backs. I don't like the offense. From weeks 1 to 6, again, OBJ got injured in week 7, okay? From weeks 1 to 6, OBJ was the wide receiver 19. Sounds respectable. Sounds pretty good, yeah. Right? The issue is he only had one really just one game where he popped off, and that was against the Cowboys in week 4. In week 4, he had 3 touchdowns, he threw a touchdown, and he just completely popped off. It wasn't a regular game for him. The consistency wasn't there. If you take away that one game in week 4, and I know we can manipulate stats to say anything we want, but what I'm trying to get at here is if he just had another average game in week 4, it would look much worse. Let's say you take out that game in week 4, he would be the wide receiver 52.
Sheesh.
That's why this is significant. Because without that one game where he popped off, he wasn't a wide receiver that you even wanted to start on your team.
Right.
And while wide receiver 19 looks nice, every other week, you were really guessing on if you should have started this guy or not.
Yeah.
For me, I love hearing the rumors that he should be traded, because I think he should. I would love to see him in a different offense. I don't believe that he can succeed. I don't think he can be a top 15 wide receiver in the Cleveland Browns offense. I just don't think it's possible. Like, so for those reasons, I'm out. Shark Tank style. I'm
out. I love Shark Tank. Shout out to Shark Tank. If you want to start a business with Fantasyland Football somehow, please email us. Look.
Yeah, the Cube, Mark Cube will definitely listen to this podcast. Yeah. Hey, Cube, if you need to email us, fantasylandfootball@gmail.com.
I agree with you. OBJ, I think, is an extreme talent. Obviously, as a Giants fan, I was a fan of OBJ. I'm still a fan of OBJ. I think one thing to take out of this was that before OBJ got hurt, or after OBJ got hurt, the Browns kind of flourished. Mm. And, you know, the offense really opened up a lot more for Jarvis Landry. And is it Rashad Higgins or T. Higgins? I always get those two mixed up.
Rashad,
right. So it was Rashad. And, you know, we've seen those things. I'm not saying that those guys excelled tremendously. I'm not saying that they had a better team. They just flowed more. They had a better flow to them and a better understanding when they played football without OBJ. And I like OBJ, and I think you're right. I would like to see him go to another team, get traded, and see what happens there. But I am selling as well. I wasn't a fan of OBJ this past year either.
I get what you're saying with the team flowed better, because I agree. But stats don't lie. They only lost one game in those 7 weeks. They were 6-1 with OBJ.
Right.
So, I mean, I get what you're saying. I think it's true. But it's just hard because they still were a great team with him.
Yeah, they still were.
So in their mind, I feel like in the Browns' mind, here's the deal. The In the NFL, the trade value for OBJ is significantly worse than it was when he was traded to the Browns, mm-hmm. right? They're not getting more than a third round pick for him now, in my opinion. Like, I don't see that happening. So I don't know that he does get traded, because I'm not sure that there's a market out there. You can find young wide receivers in the draft all the time. But I agree, they did look better without him as a team. So we'll see if that happens. Okay, last guy on the list, Cortland Sutton. Dude was primed for a breakout year, had an amazing 2019, and then unfortunately tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. Are you buying or selling a bounce back year for Cortland Sutton in 2021?
I am buying this year for Cortland Sutton.
You didn't sell anyone on this list.
Oh, I am selling. Sorry. I don't know why I said I'm buying. Oh, okay.
I was like, my man bought everyone. He's like, yep, I'm gonna bring my cash.
I was so like, yeah, buying.
You take Apple Pay here?
No, I'm selling purely because, okay. And let me tell you why. Obviously, he tore his ACL. Let me tell you why he tore his ACL, because Drew Luck threw an interception and Cortland Sutton wanted to go tackle that guy that threw an interception and tore his ACL. Terrible.
Isn't that so frustrating?
I'll blame that on Drew Lock. And
he's going to have to take that to the grave with him as well.
Mm-hmm. But look, obviously, once again, we saw many people with similar injuries, ACL tears, and they come back. We all know what the case is. Cooper Kupp, all these guys that come back and feel even better and stronger. He finished wide receiver 19 in 2019. I think he was on a good trajectory to continue to go up and up and up. Obviously, these are with not amazing quarterbacks. And at the moment, it for me, it's like a pendulum. It's going back and forth. I'm buying, I'm selling. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I believe the Broncos are going to get a quarterback in the drafts. So that's why I'm keep right now. If I had to give you an answer, I'm going to say sell, because we don't know who his quarterback is. Drew Luck, yeah. I'm not excited. But if they do get Fields, Mac Jones, whoever, Trey Lance, Cortland Sutton, it can be right back at wide receiver 19 like he was in 2019. Maybe not this right. year, but in the years to come. So
yeah.
I see huge potential, but based on his quarterback, I'm going to be selling him.
Okay. Yeah. And I hate that we agree on everything so far. But I agree. You know, I'm also looking to sell him unless his ADP value warrants a draft selection.
Right.
So in the mock draft 2 days ago, because this is what we can reference right now, he went in the sixth round. Way too high for me. Like in drafts, I'm looking to take Jerry Jeudy over Cortland Sutton personally. I might be the only one. I might not be. But for me, I'm looking to take Jerry Jeudy all day over Sutton. Here's the players that went after Sutton in this draft, okay? Brandon Ayuk would have taken him over Sutton. Tyler Boyd, Deontay Johnson. Debo's maybe pushing it, but probably Debo. Definitely T. Higgins. Definitely Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
I know that that's a little bit of a reach, but I feel more comfortable with all those players' roles than I do with Cortland Sutton with all the unknowns.
Look, I was actually excited for Cortland Sutton. I drafted him in multiple leagues coming into the year last year, and I thought he was going to have an amazing year. I still believe he's going to come back and have a great year, in my opinion. I think there are only... It's hard to kind of gauge where he's going to go. I don't mind him at the 6'10". I do understand other people going before him. Like, I think I would be taking OBJ or Cortland Sutton over OBJ as an example. I'm not excited about that. I'm not excited about OBJ. Marquise Brown, Cortland Sutton, I'm taking over Marquise.
Yeah, same. Hollywood Brown shouldn't
let me really ask you this. How about drafted. This? Any, all three Steelers receivers over Cortland Sutton or Cortland Sutton over?
Yes. I am going to take all three.
You're going to take all three.
Sutton.
Okay.
Just because I like the offense better.
Okay.
And I like the quarterback there, even though he's got a noodle arm. He's got literal pasta for an arm now. Okay. But no, I'm going to take them. All right. We're going to wrap up the show with quick fire. Badaki, we're going to list some other potential bounce back players who had injuries or bad situations. It's only four, but this is going to be quick fire. I need you to say with one word, no explanation. It's okay. Are you buying or selling? And I will tell you the same. Christian McCaffrey.
Buying.
Buying. Deebo Samuel.
Buying.
Buying. George Kittle.
Buying.
Selling. Should I explain?
You said no explanation, so you gotta let the people sit on and ponder. Wow.
I'm gonna do it in less than 5 seconds. I don't like where he's going with his ADP, and I don't like that I don't know the quarterback. That's why I'm selling, because of ADP. Joe Mixon, last one.
Selling.
I'm also selling. My goodness, we agree on almost everything.
Gio Bernard got cut. That's probably some news that if you want to know what's that mean. Probably true. Nothing, but...
What's that mean? Probably absolutely nothing, but we always have to speculate. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning into the podcast today. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Can't wait for the draft. Anything you want to say to close the show?
As always, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. Great way to support the show. We are excited to be launching year two of Patreon right before the draft, right after the draft. Once again, we haven't set that day, so stay tuned. The draft is coming up in 2-3 weeks now, so we actually need to get on that date. But we are excited. If you like what we're doing, if you want to be part of Mock Draft, if you want to be in a league, or if you want to be in a Discord, whatever the case may be, it's all on Patreon, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, we got a lot of links. Mm-hmm. But you can find everything in one link.
That's right.
Little plug. solo.to/fantasylandfootball. All right, have the best Thursday night. We'll see you next week. See you there.
See you there.
Hey. Yeah, you. The one listening to this podcast, you made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. Because you deserve it.